Great to have your company once again for Lorna Parker here on WLR, Tomás McCarthy back in the hot seat, and many thanks to Gavin Whelan for stepping in over the last 2 weeks. Busy programme in store. Former Daisha hurling boss Derek McGrath will preview Sunday's big match between Waterford and Cork. Claire Welch, Chloe Fennell, Aoife Murray and Aoife Brazel from the Waterford ladies football team will look ahead to Sunday's Munster final against Kerry. Daisha Camogie captain Lorraine Bray on last night's vote at Special Congress. And later in the hour, we'll hear about an upcoming golf classic being held by the Newtown Ballydurn GAA Club. Well, there are two changes to the Waterford hurling team for Sunday's must-win Munster Championship meeting with Cork at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Sean Welsh and Patrick Fitzgerald start in attack, while captain Desi Hutchinson and Kevin Mahoney drop to the bench. Of course, Cork versus Waterford will be our George Corbett Say at Big Match here on WLR. Kieran O'Connor and Sean Daly will be in the commentary box, and our coverage gets underway at 3:45. Well, earlier in the week, I caught up with former Daisha boss Derek McGrath and asked him firstly about where Waterford fell short against Tipperary last weekend.
I suppose a variety of reasons. I suppose we kind of seemed to have an early period of dominance. The first 15 minutes started really brightly, and then we were a bit errant in our shooting. I think Peter referred afterwards to the scoring efficiency. So I think instead of going in probably 5 or 6 points up at halftime, which we'd be reasonably entitled to say that we could have been 5 or 6 points up, we were 3 points down. I think Tip stretched into a 6-point lead in third quarter, and then we came again. And then Tip going down the stretch seemed to be kind of, you know, this, I suppose, small margins coming down the stretch, even though it's a 9-point victory for Tip. I think on 61 or 62 minutes, you're in a level game almost. You know, you're kind of, you know, three, then the goal comes against probably the run of play and the momentum. So it's hurling, you know, so a variety of kind of variables, I suppose, presented themselves. Ultimately, I suppose, just didn't take our chances and weren't clinical enough. So I'd probably agree with Peter's assessment afterwards in that. That kind of efficiency in terms of when we seemed to have the foot on the throat in that first quarter, we just probably didn't take advantage of it in terms of scoring terms.
Is there any other areas, Derek, apart from the shooting that players and management now will be looking to fix this week?
Well, I'd say in fairness, you're always looking to fix something match to match, whether you win, whether you lose. You know, same in Cork, same even with Limerick. You'd often hear John Kiley talking about what we'll go after this week. So I'd say they're probably going to look at maybe elements of the deliveries into the full forward line in terms of the fluency of those, or the fluidity of those, or the frequency of those, if you like, and mixing it up. I saw one brilliant ball in the first half where Tighe played a really quick ball into the corner. Desi won it in the corner and recycled it out. I think we got a point or a free from it. And I see Dan, you know, kind of basically reinforcing to Tighe that was the ball that they wanted played. So I'd say No different than anyone. They're probably looking to bring in flexibility in their play, combining with the kind of hard running game that, you know, Jack Pender and Mark Fitz and the boys give you. Mixing that up, I suppose, with kind of angle deliveries into the full forward line, and even, you know, deliveries into the kind of that forced the first goal, if you like, Stephen Bennett's goal, and you know, couldn't help but look at Limerick's, I suppose, flexibility in their approach last Sunday, and that. I was just watching back the game there last night, the Limerick game, and several kind of long balls in to Aaron Gillan in behind that didn't materialise in terms of scores, but they was definitely on their radar to try and kind of. So I think probably Waterford will probably go after that as well in terms of looking at maybe the aerial capacity of Owen Downey, how he struggled with Peter Duggan, and maybe how Michael Kiley perhaps would give him some sort of, you know, might give him an answer, you know, make him ask a question or answer a question in terms of the aerial prowess in Cork, you know.
Defensively, Derek, like, Andrew Ormond caused Waterford a lot of problems from centre forward last weekend. He was named man of the match, and it was highlighted on the Sunday game afterwards that Tadhg Na Burka was kind of caught in two minds about whether to cover his full back line or to follow out Andrew Ormond. And now Waterford have Darragh Fitzgibbon to reckon with this time around. How do you think Waterford can address that issue?
Yeah, well, thankfully we had Liam Rush on the Sunday game to give some sense of kind of regulatory kind of commentary on and critique what's involved. First of all, there's no such thing as a centre forward anymore, and that's the reality of it. You know, I even remember at our time where people would say, oh, give Austin a set position, play him at 11, and we'd name him at 11, but he'd play anywhere else bar 11. You know, and that's the reality is Keane Lynch, Andrew Ormond, Darragh Fitzgibbon, they'll momentarily come up to the 11 position on puckouts, the opposition puckouts, or even on their own pockets, but more often than not, they'll spend time inside, outside, back in their own half of the field. So it's not an easy conundrum kind of to solve. And it's, you know, I was interested to see, you know, and as I said, I watched the game, even Kyle Hayes' approach with Darragh Fitzgibbon, whereby I suppose the Limerick wall that involves Tom Morrissey, Keane Lynch, Garrod Hegarty, even David Reedy, Will O'Donoghue, Adam English, that's six, I suppose, that present themselves almost as a cordon in front of Kyle Hayes, enable Kyle Hayes to do his job. In other words, the same job that Tighe has done probably all his life, mixing and matching, marking Andrew Ormond and ensuring that Darragh Lyons and Jack Pender and the half forward and get to him as well. You know, so there's an anomaly there that I think people have made probably not too big a deal about, but it's a coaching piece, it's a help piece. It's everybody working as one. It's not a simple fix where people say, you know, Tighe should be marking his man. There are times where every centre back should mark their main or should kind of step up on their main temporarily, but there's also times where you need him kind of covering back, a la Ken McGrath, a la Pat O'Neill. It's probably about filling the middle third with extra bodies to make sure that Andrew Ormond is bumping into an opposing forward as much as bumping into asking questions of Tighe, if you like. So I think there's great men involved in the management team that have debated and discussed that in detail, I'd imagine. And, you know, it's important they probably don't get bogged in it now and leave kind of, we need to probably play on Sunday. And I think we will too, you know.
You mentioned Jamie Barron there, Derek. Like, he was Waterford's standout performer last weekend with 4 points in play. What have you made of his displays in that new centre-forward role that he's been given?
Exactly, as I've probably said already, in that I'd like to see the heat map on how much time he actually spent at centre-forward, you know. He's 12 on his back, you know, so he's just basically popping up everywhere, you know. And it's not a new thing. I think Martin Nocton did it for Galway back in the early 90s, and Pat Spillane did it in the football for Kerry in the 80s when I used to be obsessed with the Kerry Gaelic football team. So he's been brilliant, and his leadership qualities have been brilliant, and he's in a real rich vein of form. You know, you can see that kind of, you know, that ability to jink and dip the shoulder is really good. And do you know, he's probably in a stage of his career where he's, you know, maybe, you know, 3 or 4 years left and hopefully even more, if you like. And it's just really kind of, you can see he's playing with a kind of a want and a willingness to try and get Waterford out of that top three. And he's playing with a real kind of freedom there, Jamie, at the moment. And there was times actually when I was involved myself that we'd be kind of terrified, not terrified of playing Jamie out of midfield, because sometimes the positional, I would have found that the wing, if he's kind of located to one wing only, he has some kind of the freedom. But he's, you know, he seems to be popping up, going everywhere from the wing, almost like kind of Podge Collins did when he was in the Clare forward line under Davy. And he's leading it really well at the moment.
Cork have plenty to worry about themselves, Derek, this week after Limerick dismantled them in the Gaelic grounds. What do you think would have concerned Pat Ryan and his management team most with that display?
Yeah, I've been spending kind of a week thinking about it, you know, and I watched it a couple of times. Motivation, I think Limerick were at a huge advantage in that, having lost to Cork twice, would. John hadn't made the rally cry to kind of the people of Limerick to come out and kind of, as I said in the article, to the Coliseum, and I just felt Limerick were going to turn up, you know. And I wouldn't, even though I'm involved with some of the boys that are involved from Doon, I'd never asked them, but I just got the sense that Limerick were going to be vicious in their approach, like. And Cork just didn't seem prepared for that viciousness, and their tactical approach was a small bit different too, in that, albeit they've been, you know, man to man in periods, but they took man to man to an extreme level, particularly their own forwards, where they played right up on the Limerick backs and therefore gave their own backline no protection whatsoever in terms of helping back or funneling back or scrambling back to help. So just surprising that they kind of stayed with that all the way through, you know. And sometimes there are matches that slip away from you, and you kind of say to yourself, almost 40 minutes going into it, you say, look, this is gone now. Leave it kind of take care of itself and maybe hope to remedy it ahead of ourselves on Sunday.
Cork still have that really potent full forward line, Derek, despite the events of last Sunday. How do you think Waterford will match up against Patrick Horgan, Alan Connolly and Brian Hayes?
Last year, I think Prunty took Connolly. And now with the size difference now, it could be a case of Prunty going with Hayes. you know, Irla going with Horgan and Ian Kenny matching up with Connolly. And look, they're tough matchups, you know. They're all tough matchups because, you know, it's dependent on I suppose, being on the front foot initially, you know, being making sure that the start that they got, albeit Darren McCarthy sending off was a factor, the start that they got in Ennis in the first round and in Páirc Uí Chaoimh when they play Tipperary is kind of prevented, you know, and you're just hoping really for the psychological scars of the pummeling by Limerick to be kind of evident, you know. And all the talk this week, Tomás, is I can't see Cork being beaten in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and you know, it's basically, you know, listening to all the pundits, it's kind of, you know, look, Cork, they'll get through it. There's not a question in anyone's minds, including Paddy Power or Boyle Sports, that Cork will get through it, you know. So it's I don't like using the term free hit, but I think there should be a sense of freedom in Waterford's approach, in that the expectancy, albeit within their own group, will be huge. On the outside, seems to be kind of, you know, you'd like to put Cork on the back foot from the very start and see, can they deal with maybe some residue from what has happened in Limerick last week? And that'll be the hope. But that will probably be the matchup. But again, the boys might have something up their sleeve in terms of their approach in terms of the six forwards and who they'll take, the six backs.
We didn't see Austin Gleeson off the bench against Tipperary. Derek, what role do you think he'll play on Sunday?
These are all tough decisions, you know, that Peter and Owen Kelly and Dan have to make, you know. And obviously, I'm stating the very, very obvious that if Austin is right, and physically, mentally, hurling-wise, he's the best. He's probably our best player. Like, you know, if you want to be completely honest about the whole scenario, he's definitely up there as one of our best players. And he's, you know, so it's the management's decision, and it's their assessment of him night in, night out, every training session, every interaction. The surprising factor was the fact that he had seen game time at the end of the Clare game, at the end of the Limerick game, and everything was building perhaps towards the third game. So that was probably, now again, we're not privy to setbacks, we're not privy to who's going well in 15 asides, you know, we're not privy. I know Waterford played tip 20s, I think, in an in-house match, you know, we're not privy to who's going well at a particular time. So and look, I'd hope that there'd be some way that Austin would see game time at the weekend, but that's not, I think it's important that Peter and them, they stick to their guns as well, in terms of, you know, if Austin is right and he can contribute, and obviously then they'll use him. And if he's not, and I don't know the reasons why he wouldn't be right, if you like, and they won't use him. And you know, and obviously, as I said, I'm going to repeat myself by saying that if he's right, I think it could be a scenario whereby, you know, the surprise factor on Sunday is needed, in terms of maybe not a reconfiguration, but just maybe two or three things that give it kind of the, I often think of Jack O'Connor the year Kerry won the All-Ireland, where they relocated Kieran Donaghy mid-season, if you like. You know, that maybe Sunday is the day for, you know, a rabbit out of the hat, where you kind of say to yourself, look, this is what we'll go with. You know, is it Patrick Fitzgerald even to 11 at times? You know, where you, you know, we would have watched Patrick playing a lot of his hearty hurling at 11, even with Ballygunner Minors at 11. You know, where he's a good deliverer, a good playmaker as much as anything else, and good striker, and is it Austin in the forward line as well? You know, from the start, and maybe get 45 minutes out of him. But look, I don't want to be perceived as some sort of outside calling for it. I'm not calling for it. I'd be completely respectful of what the management see, as I said, at every training session, at every match. And they'll make the decisions. And, you know, it's like anything else. Waterford is a small place when the perception is that you didn't make the right decision. But I'd be with Peter and those, not in terms of just, you know, just in terms of they're the guys that are in control of it, and in terms of, you know, what they're seeing night in, every night of training, because they're really good people involved at the management level and at players' level.
How do you call it, Derek?
Listen, one of your colleagues there, Tomás, wrote a very good article in the News and Star, as you did yourself. And the headline, I think, was improbable, but not impossible. I can't remember the actual title.
I think that's the way he put it. Yeah. Our own Jordan Norris.
Not impossible, he said, but you know, improbable. And I very rarely, even in the articles, I'd very rarely go against Waterford, because you'd always see. But what I do see is, I don't see what everyone is saying to me about it. I don't see Cork railroading us. I see I'm hoping for a stuttering Cork performance, some leftovers from what has happened in Limerick. That kind of, maybe, not Cork arrogance, but that Corkness presenting itself all week and say, listen, we have these fellas. And then all of a sudden they find themselves in the trenches against us. We're playing well. We get a bit of flow. We get a bit of confidence. And it's not impossible, but it's probably improbable. So, you know, in terms of that's is it a sitting on the fence? It's hard to see us getting over the line in Parky. I think it'll be one of our greatest victories. You know, one of those brilliant away victories. I put it up there with any of the greatest victories that great team in the 90s, etc., had over the years against Cork. I think if we were to pull it off Sunday, it'd be an amazing achievement by the boys, you know.
Before you go, Derek, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of the high-stakes games in Leinster this weekend. We know that Limerick are playing Clare in the Gaelic rounds, but very little at stake there. Limerick are practically through to the Munster final and Clare already eliminated. But in Leinster, Dublin and Galway face off at Parnell Park on Sunday to decide who will join Kilkenny in the final. And what way do you see that going?
Yeah, Dublin have been playing very well. And the majority of the talk again is that Dublin kind of this, you know, a Leinster semi-final, that Dublin will be well prepared. It came back well against Kilkenny. But I think Galway are gradually improving. I actually said to someone the day after the Kilkenny malaise that I wouldn't rule out Galway being back in a Leinster final. The very day after, I was kind of saying, you know, when everyone was kind of writing their epitaph, I was kind of saying, I don't think they're as bad now. I think Conor Whelan's relocation to the half forward and has worked. I think Brian Concannon is coming into a bit of form. Kevin Cooney got game time. He's a very, very good player. Injury prone, but very, very good player. Kevin Cooney got game time into him. And Dahi Burke is due back this weekend as well. So I'm going to plump for Galway. I thought it was causing a shock, but I see that they're favourites. And I was surprised that they were kind of favourites for the game. But I think Galway will meet Kilkenny in the Leinster final with Dublin taking the third place, even though Parnell Park is a very difficult place. And I also back Micheál is a shrewd guy, very, very shrewd operator. And he was obviously with Dublin last year. And, you know, I think the inside track may help him in this regard.
At the other end of the table then, Derek, Offaly and Antrim meet in a relegation decider in Tullamore. Offaly trying to avoid going straight back to Joe McDonagh and Antrim trying to salvage a disappointing first season under Davy Fitzgerald. How do you call that one?
Yeah, look, the form book points to Offaly. I suppose the kind of the inward eye would be thinking that Davy has deliberately rested guys against Galway, will have maybe two or three of his bigger guns back for this particular game, given the fact that they were kind of railroaded in Tullamore earlier this year in the league against, that everything would point to a typical Davy Fitzgerald act of defiance, siege mentality meets madness on this weekend. But I think Offaly are in better form. I think they're a better team. And I liked their approach against Wexford, because even if they'd beaten Wexford, I think their head-to-head, if they'd lost to Antrim, their head-to-head kind of, you know, would still put them down. So I actually liked the fact that they went all out against Wexford. So their simulation was based on, we need to go all out every week. And I liked Johnny Kelly's approach to the whole thing last weekend. So I think that will bear fruit this weekend. And I think Antrim will be back in the Joe McDonagh. And I'm not going to say, but Davy will definitely have a kind of a different approach, you know, ready for this weekend. But I think Offaly are in better form, and I think they're slightly ahead of the Antrim trajectory currently.
Derek McGrath, thanks a million for your time this evening, and enjoy the match on Sunday.
Thanks to Moss Sound, Lou.
Wofford first to get the touch. Jamie Barron, a doubt about his shoulder injury, but my God, he's looking sharp there, running out for that ball. Sending the high ball in. Stephen Bennett's inside. Stephen gets the ball. It's a goal! High ball in from Jamie. One all start to the other. Stephen Bennett soared above Connolly. Turned goal. What a start.
Now you're hurling. Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, the Waterford ladies football team seek their first Munster title in 23 years against Kerry on Sunday afternoon. The game throws in at 2:30 in Mallow, and Gavin Whelan will have live updates here on WLR. Well, the Waterford team are sponsored by Waterford Dairy Farmers this season, and earlier in the week I called out to the Burns Farm in Coolness Mere to catch up with players Chloe Fennell, Claire Welsh, Aoife Brazel and Aoife Murray. I asked Chloe firstly about the excitement following their win over Cork.
Oh, it was just unreal just to know that we kind of have gotten over the line and gotten into a Munster final. It was just kind of relief and kind of just kind of excitement that we're kind of, you know, getting another step. Like, we haven't been in the final now since 2019, and they don't come around that often. So it's just kind of, you know, all the hard work is starting to pay off. So just kind of relief and kind of excitement now building up for the next few days, just leading into it.
You haven't been part of the panel, Chloe, for the last 2 years. What brought you back on board in 2025?
Kind of felt like I had a good club campaign last year, and I was kind of like, you know, I'll give it another year at county and see if I'm able for it. And so I was delighted that Tomás brought me back in, and so it's been great so far anyway, so I can't complain.
What was your first year on the Waterford Senior Panel?
I think it was 2017, I'm going to say. I think, yeah, and I remember we got to the Munster final that year and we agonisingly lost, I think, by 2 points. But yeah, 2017, I think, was my first year on the panel with the older girls. But yeah, so it's been, and there's still some of us hanging on and there's others that have gone, but in fairness, you know, it's great to be there and you get to meet other club players and they kind of drive you on as well. So I think playing county is great. Like, it's just, it brings you on a bit, and it is, I don't know, improves you, I suppose, for your club then when you go back as well.
Yeah, where did your love of football come from originally, Chloe?
Oh, I'd have to say probably with my father over in Strably. He was heavily involved as chairman over there, so I'd say I went to every training session. I was stuck to his hip, or I was trying to catch size 5 balls being lettered in over the goal, and that's where I kind of got stuck in. And then sure, my sisters then trained me then underage for the club, so they really kind of brought me out, and we had underage leagues and stuff over there, and then it just kind of went from strength to strength underage then, and we kind of built the ladies club from there then, and we've been doing great ever since. So kind of, I'd have to say, family now are a big push for me and stuff, so it has been great.
Yeah, your sisters played for the county as well, didn't they?
One of my sisters did, Nicola. She played for the county as well. She was on the panel the year they won the All-Ireland in 2015. So yeah, she was part of the panel, but she's still playing club with me now, as is my sister Tracy. So we're all kind of there together. It's nice having family with you all the time.
And off the field, Chloe, what does your work life involve at the moment?
I'm kind of just working in the fruit and veg shop in Abbeyside there in Duxpool. So I'm just working there a few days a week with Colin Ryan, so 'tis grand. I like outdoors and I help out at home then sometimes on the farm, so 'tis grand. Handy work.
And how much are you enjoying being back part to the Waterford Senior Ladies Football Panel this year?
I'm really enjoying it now, to be fair. Like, you don't realise kind of what you miss until didn't have it, and then when you come back in you're like, Jeannie, you know, just kind of going to trainings and talking to the girls and the kind of social aspect of it, and you know, like, you're fit, and kind of when you're fit I think you're happy and you're kind of just excited for things and you're able to do stuff. So no, it's been great to be back, like, especially with all the girls. I hadn't seen some of the girls I probably wouldn't have seen in a while, you know. They mightn't be on senior club teams, so you wouldn't see them, you know, so it's great to see all them girls as well.
Who will you have supporting you in Mallow on Sunday?
Oh, I'd say I'll have a good few of the family, the sisters and them, and hopefully my daughter will be up with me as well. So yeah, hopefully, and I know, I think our underage girls from the club are hoping to come up as well, so that'll be great for them to see it as well.
Yeah. How old is your daughter?
She's just over a year and a half now, so she's in the fun stage now of running around. So if I'm not kept fit by training, I'm kept fit running after her. So no, it is great now, so delighted to have her, and she's, you know, really special to have, and just going, bringing to matches, you know, it's really exciting to see her there and kind of just watching it all, even though she mightn't be taking too much in now, but hopefully in a few years to come she'll be hopefully doing the same thing I am.
Yeah, you brought her to a couple of matches this year.
Yeah, she's travelled a fair bit now. All right, she went to Kildare, that was her first outing now, and she's been at a good few of them now, to be fair to her. So I don't know how much she's taken in, but she's going anyway. Yeah. So it is great. No, it is great.
And we better mention her name, Chloe.
Oh, Roisin is her name. Roisin. So Roisin, yeah. So she's she'll come anyway. If you tell her wherever she's going, she'll hop in the car and she's gone. So she's good, in fairness.
How much would it mean to yourself and the family to pick up a Munster title on Sunday?
Jesus, it would mean so much. I, you know, they, like I said, they don't come around that often. Senior finals, we haven't been one in 6 years, so you can't really take them for granted. But I know, just to get a senior Munster medal under our belt now would be fantastic. And I know, like, my parents, I know a good few of the girls' parents, they've travelled all over the country to league games, to Munster Championship All-Ireland Series, and just for them as well, just to kind of just make it worthwhile for them, you know, it would just be really rewarding now if we could get over the line now next Sunday.
And we've one more job for you this evening, Chloe. Take the Lorna Park, your favourites quiz.
Yeah.
First of all, your favourite venue?
I'd probably have to say Strably. Can't beat looking out over that sea.
you had to go for that one. Favourite match that you've ever played in?
I'd have to say the 2019 league final, I think Division 2, getting over Kerry. Yeah.
Your favourite pair of football boots?
Anything. Adidas, really. I wouldn't be too fussy.
Your favourite sports person?
Kind of, I like a few, but I'll say Charlene Maudsley.
Favourite type of music?
Coldplay would be Coldplay or Imagine Dragons, that kind of music.
Favourite movie?
Shawshank Redemption, I'm going to say.
Favourite TV show?
I know it's on Netflix now, but Drive to Survive. I've gone into F1 now at the minute.
Very good. Your favourite meal?
Spaghetti Bolognese.
Your favourite holiday destination?
I must say I love New York.
Favourite sport outside of GAA?
I kind of like watching the athletics, kind of, you know, bit of everything involved in that. So, yeah, I'm going to say the athletics.
Favourite player to sit beside in the water dressing room?
I could find myself beside anyone, but I kind of find myself beside Caitlin Gardner and Ice, but she's a bit of crack. She's easygoing like myself.
And last of all, your favourite Waterford player ever?
I'd have to go with Grainne Keneally on this one. She was always Trojan workhorse, and I liked playing with her as well. I got to play with her, which was great. So, but yeah, Grainne Keneally for that one.
Great choice. Chloe Fennell, Waterford Ladies Football forward. Thanks a million for your time this evening, and all the best against Kerry in the Munster final.
Thanks, Tomás. Thank you.
Lorne Napurka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Claire Walsh, Bell McCarberry, full forward.
Claire, you're taking on our Lorne Napurka favourites quiz. First of all, your favourite venue?
I'd say Kilmac Thomas.
Favourite match that you've ever played in?
Club Munster final.
Your favourite pair of football boots?
Adidas black boots.
Yeah, very similar to Chloe. Your favourite sports person?
Chloe Fennell.
Your favourite type of music?
I'd say pop music.
Favourite movie?
The Green Mile.
Favourite TV show?
Gilmore Girls.
Favourite meal?
Lasagna.
Favourite holiday destination?
Mallorca.
Favourite sport outside of GAA?
Rugby.
Favourite player to sit beside in the Waterford dressing room?
Aoife Brazel.
And finally, your favourite Waterford player ever?
Camera.
WLR, the sound of Waterford.
So I'm here with Aoife Murray ahead of Sunday's Munster final against Kerry. Aoife, what would it mean to you to get your hands on that Munster Cup on Sunday?
I feel like every ladies footballer in Munster, when they go back training in November, have their eyes set on that Munster medal. And, you know, particularly this stage in my career, I've been on the panel since 2016. And we've gotten to two Munster finals in 2017 and 2019, and obviously this year now as well. So I think once you're coming to the latter end maybe of your playing days, that medal would mean so much more now than it ever would. And I think you're reminded that this might be your last chance to go out and represent your county and come out with a bit of silverware at the end. So I think to all the girls, you know, the work we've put in, it would be a good reward, I suppose, for the last decade or so that we've put in, to get a reward for that. Yeah, so it would mean a lot to me, myself, my family, and of course all the girls on the team.
And Aoife, you weren't part of the squad at the start of the season. What tempted you back in?
I'd say there was a few factors. The main two were I went to the first few league games, or I was watching them on the phone or on the stream, and I found it extremely difficult to sit there and watch the games. I didn't think I would find it that hard, but I was in an absolute heap sitting on the sideline in comparison to how I would feel when I was out on the pitch, you know. And obviously I'm close to a lot of the girls that are still on the panel, you know, like a lot of my best friends are still there, and there was just that element of I missed being with them or playing with them. And then of course Emma is the captain this year, and it's kind of hard to say no to your own sister when they approach you for a serious conversation to come back in and join the panel. But no, I'm extremely grateful that Tomás and the lads were willing to bring you back on board, and I'm delighted. Obviously, since I've gone back in, I've been enjoying every minute of it, and especially now being given that chance to be selected for the Munster final, considering I wasn't originally there is a great honour.
So was it a chat with your sister Emma that kind of turned your head, Aoife?
Yeah, I think that was the turning point when, you know, she sat me down maybe and asked me again and just gave me a bit of food for thought, you know, because it is a hard decision to make year in, year out. You know, it's easy in one sense in that we all are very passionate and we all love playing football, but it's a huge commitment year in, year out, and you kind of have to take a step back and be like, is that what I want this year? Or maybe do I want to go and spend my time doing other things? But I think that natural love and dedication and friendship for within the squad is kind of what drew me back in. Do you know, I think it would have been easier to step away maybe if there wasn't that close bond among the group, and you know, I felt maybe like I wasn't part of something that was worthwhile. But I think everyone on the panel would stand up and say that being a part of this senior team is, you know, if not one of the most worthwhile ways you can spend your time, and we're all more than willing to dedicate ourselves to trying to be the best senior team that Waterford has seen in the last few years.
And finally, for how good has Lauren McGregor been for you this year? I've been tallying up her goal record. She's got 11 already in 2025. How amazing has she been for you throughout this season so far?
She's been vital to our success, and to be fair to her, Lauren is such a talented and natural, skillful footballer, and she's a pleasure to watch, you know, in training and in games, and you can always rely on her for a goal. I think even the last day, I remember Karen like saying to her at halftime, come on now Lauren, we need one of your goals, and she went out and did just that, you know. Me and Lauren actually went and bought the same pair of boots as me, so I don't know if having the same boots as Lauren is going to maybe give me that little bit of skillfulness going towards goal. So that's what I'm hoping. If I have the same boots there, maybe she'll rub off on me then.
Aoife Murray, great to talk to you as always. All the best in the Munster final against Kerry.
Thanks a million, Tomás. Thanks for having me.
WLR, the sound of Waterford.
Aoife Brazel from Stravley, and my position is wing forward.
And Aoife, you're also taking on our Lorna Parker favourites quiz this evening. First of all, your favourite venue?
I'd have to pick Stravley.
Your favourite match that you've ever played in?
Probably the college final last year against Carlow. We lost by a point, but it was a brilliant match.
Your favourite pair of football boots?
Adidas, I'd say.
Yeah, like the rest of the panel. Your favourite sports person?
I'd have to go with Katie Taylor.
Your favourite type of music?
Country music.
Favourite movie?
Marley and Me, I'd say.
Favourite TV show?
Friends.
Favourite meal?
Steak.
Favourite holiday destination?
Albufeira.
Favourite sport outside of GAA?
Rugby.
Favourite player to sit beside in the Waterford dressing room?
Claire Welsh, I'd say.
And finally, your favourite Waterford player ever?
Aileen Wall from Ballymac.
Lorne na Páirce with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
So a Camogie Association Special Congress voted 98% in favour of giving players the option to wear shorts or skirts in Croke Park last night. The new rule comes into effect immediately, and to chat about this, I'm joined on the line by Daisha Camogie captain Lorraine Bray. Lorraine, this saga has rumbled on for a couple of weeks at this stage. What was your reaction when the result came through last night?
I think relief was the main reaction. We were actually all training together when we got the news. So, you know, there was a big hype and buzz, I suppose, around training once we heard. And especially, I suppose, with the stance we made in relation to the Munster final and all, I suppose it made that bit more impactful on us all. So look, we were delighted, yeah, to hear the news last night.
As you say there, Lorraine, like both Waterford and Cork took a very strong stance on this issue. Like you both wanted to wear shorts for the Munster final. You spoke out on both local and national media. The game was then postponed on the Friday evening beforehand. Like, can you just kind of sum up what that week was like for the players?
Yeah, I suppose the lead up to it was like preparing for any Munster final, like any team would be doing. And everything was in place and we were ready to go out and play a Munster final on that Saturday. But look, it was very disheartening then when we got the news that it was cancelled and the situation we were put in. But I suppose it just goes to show the unity that both teams had in relation to it and making that stance and standing up for what's right. and letting our voices be heard in relation to it. And if that stance wasn't made, I don't think we would have had a Congress and we wouldn't have the result that we have today, which I suppose it's just massive, I suppose, on our own behalf, the impact that it has had and what the result has, what the outcome has come.
What impact do you think this ruling is going to have, Lorraine, not just for the players that are playing now, but for the generations to come as well?
I think massive. Like, even if you were to talk to some underage girls, they'd have the same discomfort and worries that we had when we were wearing skirts. So I think it'll be massive for the younger generation. I know even they were delighted with the news as well, which is brilliant. Like, so it's definitely going to be massive for generations in the future to come. And that's what it's about as well. Like, it's not just about ourselves. It's about thinking about those coming up through the ranks in years to come.
And Lorraine, have you received any indication yet of when that Munster final is going to be played?
No, we haven't yet. And I do struggle to see where it's going to fit in between the All-Ireland Championship, which is obviously disappointing. But it's such a tight window now again, so it's just hard to see where they're going to try and fit it in.
And Lorraine, like, it's all systems go now for the start of the All-Ireland series. You start your campaign away to Kilkenny on Saturday week. What's the target for this year's championship?
Yeah, I think I say it every year, but it's first game basis kind of stuff. Like, the minute the Munster final didn't go ahead, our focus was All-Ireland Championship. Like, that's the next thing on the agenda, and that's our main focus for the year as well. So it's just focusing on Kilkenny, and I suppose we need, getting a result in that game would be massive for us, and get off to a good start. But yeah, all focus and preparation has been on the first round of championship, and then we're just going to hopefully build from there.
Well, Waterford Camogie captain Lorraine Bray, thanks a million for taking our call today.
Thanks a million, Tomás.
Lorne Napurka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, Newtown Ballydoran GAA Club will hold a fundraising golf classic at West Waterford Golf Club on July 25th and 26th. Our very own Kieran O'Connor was at the launch of the event, where he spoke to Waterford boss Peter Queeley and firstly club chairman Jimmy Dunphy.
We're undertaking a huge development, and obviously, like you said, fundraising is a huge part, so we're delighted to be up here in West Waterford to drive forward this fundraiser.
And of course, the current Waterford manager is a proud Ballydoran man.
Oh, absolutely. Look, he couldn't get any prouder. And look, to be fair to Peter, you know, when he played for the club, he was 100% man. When he played for the county, he was 100%, and now as manager, he's given it all again. Like, so yeah, delighted to have Peter in charge of the whole team.
Peter, current county manager, of course, Ballydoran is where it all started for you.
Yeah, look, we were missing there. We saw the plans there that are in place, and it's a far cry from when I started out playing in the 80s in a cow field beside a church. And,
you're giving away your
age. Unfortunately, I am a bit, but you know, it's great memories then of actually moving to our new field and picking stones off it and stuff, you know, and again, like Jimmy mentioned, the community, like, you had everyone in the community there picking stones off our new field, and it's amazing to think, you know, 25, 26 years later, we have these amazing plans for the next few years. And, you know, that's the one thing I will say about the lads. I'm very much involved in last year's playing and all that, but behind the scenes, I think there's some amazing people there fundraising to make sure that we have the pitch that we have now, to have the facilities we have now, and to actually have the plans we have there now. I know everyone will get behind it again, you know, because they have in the past, and they will again now for this event and any upcoming events as well.
And as you say, everyone sees what happens on the field, but behind the scenes, you have the chairman, you have Nora, you have Jerry, you have huge, hard-working people behind the scenes.
Asher, it's amazing. Look, I do remember a fundraiser there a few years ago. You know, it was something novel, it was something new. It was the cow splash in the field, and I got involved a small bit. I just couldn't get over the level of work that the lads were doing in relation to going around selling them tickets, you know, every weekend, giving up the weekend to go around to pubs and sell the tickets, knocking on doors and stuff. And kind of blew me away to actually see it up close. Like, you know, you hear about it, but to actually see it up close, like, there's some amazing work being done even then.
Now, Jimmy, you're out here in West Waterford. The classic is going to be on here. I love the idea of a scramble classic, because it really opens it for everybody. It's any combination, but a scramble of three, really, there's no pressure on anybody.
No, it's not. And it's a fun day out here, and we want everyone to come along and enjoy themselves over the course of the 2 days. So, yeah, exactly. It's a fantastic setting here in West Waterford. And look, we'd encourage everyone to come out. It's for a great cause, like, to get this development underway.
So once again, it's Friday, July the 25th and Saturday, July 26th. It's West Waterford Golf Club. It's the Newtown Ballydoran GAA fundraising golf classic, €150 a team. I know it's going to be a fantastic success, lads. And let's hope the sun will shine like it is here today. But best of luck with the classic.
Thanks very much, Gareth. Thank you.
Well, that's all for this week's Lorna Parka. Thanks a million for tuning in. Slán go fóill.
Lorna Parka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.